This is the Alan and Carly podcast.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. And as per Friday tradition, tight and bright, baby. That's what tight I always say. We don't have to do the satellite Telstra thing anymore. It's done. The competition's done.
But we can still help you with Alpha Bucks.
Exactly. And well done, by the way, to all our winners. You know, $10,000, giving that away in 1 week. That was pretty cool for us. And we know it was very cool for you as well. And we are pushing harder to try and get competitions like that because we know that money is so helpful right now, as it always is. And so if we can try to help you out in every little way we can, we're going to keep doing that. Right, Carly?
Absolutely.
That's why in meetings where they're like, would you like to give away money? Carly no longer says no.
I've never denied anyone cash, okay? Let's just put that out there.
Imagine if any show said no. Like, would you like to give away thousands of dollars? No. Our listeners want to hear our banter over our money. Thank you very much. No, we'll always try and give you cash. Speaking of which, Alpha Bucks, your letter for Monday is, this is me padding, Carly, because okay. I got the wrong day up. Watch me padding. Oh. Okay, your letter for Monday happens to be the letter D for dog.
Okay. Oh, I like that.
Okay. I'm going to go this one purely because it's people either know or they don't in this sense. You have to be a nerd if you know. Name a Pokemon character starting with D. You'll never get it.
Pokemon. I just tried to form a word and hope that it
yeah,
is
you,
true.
Yeah, you were close. Doduo. Mm. That's like the weird bird that has two heads. Dragonair.
Don't know.
Nope. And drowsy.
Okay.
Which is how Carly feels right now.
But I do actually feel a little drowsy. I'm tired.
It's drowsy. Say drowsy. It is the first question out of Alpha Bucks as well. So you'll bang out the admin part straight away and then you got a chance of winning. So yeah, look, it's not too hard. There's one other questionable one in there, but that's the one I feel like that being first out the rank is really gonna, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Trip you up. So say drowsy and then just keep smashing them and you'll win that $1,000. That's how you do it. That's it, right?
That's it.
We're going to leave it there, the podcast intro.
Yeah, sure.
Another more to report.
What are you doing this weekend?
Well, you're at the Derby tomorrow.
Derby, going there with... Yep.
Producer
with,
Shelby?
Yep, we're going to the football.
Sean?
Sean's not going, Scotty's going.
That's good. Scott, you can
hear him on Southwest.
And Albany. You hear him as well. He's a busy man.
And yeah, we're going with some listeners, which will be fun. That'll be a vibe.
Is Maguire going?
I think so.
Ew.
No, yeah, Maguire's coming.
Thank goodness I'm not going.
But you know what I'm most excited about? Yeah, the footy. That's cool. Very excited about that.
Yeah.
But I'm so excited because tonight I'm seeing Missy Higgins.
Doesn't that sound familiar?
Oh, here we go.
Doesn't that hit too close to home?
20 years since she released The Sound of White.
Doesn't that make you shiver? The way things could have gone, because that's the way she rhymes home with gone. She says gone.
You're really making me not excited for
like
this
a true artist. Gone and gone.
Gone but not forgotten.
Home and gone.
I think we need to go.
All right, we're gonna go home.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Now let's talk about Albany because this is actually really exciting. So they are basically putting out the call for potential TEDx talkers because, TEDx is coming to Albany.
That's pretty cool. If you don't know what TED Talks are like, the ones where they get up there and you do a whole spiel about a random subject. It's going to be engaging, you know, use a screen, all that sort of stuff. You know, it's really popular in the business world, but it doesn't have to be about business. You've done a TED Talk, right?
I've done a TEDx Talk.
Oh, so TEDx is the lower kind of caliber
yes,
one, right? And
not...
shorter? Is it shorter as well?
I'm not sure.
Only 5 minutes, right?
I can't remember. It was a long time. It felt like a long time.
What was the topic you did?
What was it again?
Oh my God. If only you'd been prepped, this was on a sheet and 3 hours ago.
It was learning to live out loud, basically.
Not learning to be well prepped before going into a topic.
No, it's not that.
Learning
it's been
to what?
So long ago because I actually did it in 2019 now.
Okay.
A lot's happened between now and 2019.
Name one big event.
But yeah, it's on YouTube if you want to check it out. That Carly event. Porch, oh. Learning to Live Out Loud, little plug.
Okay, I'm going to get some now. You keep talking.
No, please don't. That's actually going to horrify me. Anyway, the point is pretty much if I can do it, you can do it. That's the point here. But yeah, so with TEDx, it's really great because I actually really did enjoy my experience because it's like I met people that are literally at the forefront of coming up with new ideas, or I don't know how I ended up in this group, but yeah. So if you've got something that is of passion, you know, that you want to get across and you feel like you can confidently speak on it, then, yeah.
So it's going to be happening August 24th, Albany Town Hall is the place where it's all going to be happening. So obviously there are any people to present, but also people to rock up and watch it as well. So yeah, get around it. Just Google TEDx. You'll find everything you need to know. There's got plenty of different avenues and branches.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest, Carly, it's really hard to find this audio. Kidding. Bye. Here it is.
Oh, white wine. It was a Saturday afternoon and I decided to have a few white wines at home and watch Brené Brown's TED Talk on the power of vulnerability.
I'm so embarrassed.
Now, if you're not familiar with Brené Brown, she's basically the ultimate TED talker.
Okay, we get the idea
so
now.
So I sat there in my white wine buzz.
Alan, we get the idea.
Hanging off every one of her
Alan,
words.
We get the idea.
To sum it up.
Right, sum it up.
I'm so not going to do this justice. But she speaks about how making yourself vulnerable is the ultimate power move.
Oh!
So after the talk, I'm feeling right. Very vulnerable now.
I need to watch that again.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
For people who travel alone, I don't know, some bit of advice coming your way, I guess, regarding your next flight.
Yeah, so essentially a flight attendant has come out and spoken on how she essentially tries to kind of almost punish passengers who refuse to swap seats. So this is if someone has a family and they forgot to actually book seats together. So they've asked like a single traveller, hey, I need my kid to sit next to me. Can you swap?
Yep.
Now, typically, sometimes they'll get into the ear of the flight attendant and ask for their help in dealing with this.
That's normally the kind of guy that doesn't actually make a complaint to the restaurant when his food's wrong and he gets his wife to do it.
Can I say, I don't really think that is the flight attendant's job, to be honest.
No, no. Don't you have to clear it by them if you are changing seats?
You do, yes.
So but kind of.
I thought you weren't allowed to change seats for safety purposes. Like if the plane goes down, they need to look at who was where.
Do they? I don't think you can see anything if a plane goes down.
The flight log, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, that's where my morbid brain goes.
Yeah.
But a flight attendant has come out in America and said that basically what happens is she'll kind of read the room if someone's come to her and determine if someone's likely to swap. She said if she's getting a bit of kickback, she'll go for a more no-nonsense approach.
Mm-hmm.
So she said that she said before, okay, so are you going to watch the toddler?
And,
so basically,
like,
passive-aggressive is her approach.
Yeah, I like that. I'm pretty good at passive-aggressive.
Now, can I say something controversial?
She gives them colouring in books as well and stuff and goes, there
so,
you
to
go.
To be like, there you go, fine, if you don't want to swap.
Kid's yours, baby.
Can I just say, though, the way that we have to book flights now is you have the option to avoid this awkwardness because now when you book online, you can literally book your seats together. Sometimes you have to pay a little
bit
extra.
Yeah, sometimes you have to pay extra. And also,
You shouldn't be leaving it to when you're sitting on the plane to go, oh my God, we're not sitting together.
No, but sometimes, like we've had the experience before where they change things last minute, like in Kalgoorlie when our flight got cancelled, we got another flight, they changed it all last minute.
Well, I got put in the same seat.
Yeah, but some people I heard got moved around because, obviously they're putting two flights into one flight, so people didn't get there. You know, their first preference. So sometimes I get it. Things like that can happen, which sucks. Obviously.
I know, but I do think like if you're traveling with a young child, you definitely want to make sure you're traveling
for sure.
with the
but
child.
But if you're on a connecting flight and it's like last minute, like things happen. I totally get it. I just don't get the people who refuse to move for a kid. Like unless they're getting a really bad deal where they're getting forced from a window into a middle or something, they're like, I don't want to do that. I get that, but I didn't get why. You know what I mean?
Like, I think it's definitely on the parents, though, to be across that and be organised before they get on the flight.
Yeah, but sometimes you can't.
Now, I love a scenario where the baby gets upgraded to business and the parents
That's
don't.
That's the dream scenario. That is, I want to see a baby drinking orange juice out of a champagne flute. And just,
but don't babies just sit on your lap? Like, do they get their own
seats?
This
is for kids, but this is like for like, you know,
little
like
toddlers.
Five-year-olds, six-year-olds, you know, like they're annoying on planes and stuff and someone's got to keep an eye on them,
Look,
you know?
As someone that does move seats and has moved seats before, like...
I remember you did it in Broome.
Yes,
did it for that
lady. I'm happy to do it.
I know, I wasn't.
But it's, I do think, guys, just organise it before. Avoid the awkwardness. Literally, when you go to book, before you actually pay... There's a little thing that comes up. Would you like to choose your seat?
Yeah, but that's only. But you had to pay for some of them. Like, remember Tiger? You had to pay for every single thing. Do you plan on breathing on this flight?
Is Tiger still there?
No, Tiger's gone. Thank you,
what
COVID.
What happened to Tiger?
What happened to Tiger? Yeah, look, it just depends, you know. At the end of the day, like, just be really nice when you check in. If you do chat to someone, you're not just doing it through the computer. If you've got, like, kids or something, well, they'll help you out.
There's a trend going around TikTok of people bribing flight attendants with snacks.
I always do that. And by snacks, I mean me, because I am a snack.
How's that upgrade going for you?
Not well. Not well.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Hit Breakfast with Alan and Carly. It was a double elimination last night on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. The grand finale, by the way, this Sunday, 7:30 on Channel 10 and 10 Play. We have a special guest joining us, Carly.
Yeah, I'm so excited to chat to Ellie Cole, who is currently in South Africa, but out of the jungle. She's the most decorated female Paralympian of all time. Good morning, Ellie.
Hi, good morning. How are you going?
Yeah, doing well. How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling pretty good. I've had a shower. I've
yes.
had some food.
Oh, that's good.
I've called home.
Oh.
And they're the three things I was missing the most when I was in the jungle. So
was that the order that you did them?
I picked all those things out. No. I'm sure you can guess the order. But what do you think I had?
I think the phone call for me would have been last. I can tell you that much. It would have been food, shower, food in the shower, and then maybe
food
a call
while
home.
You're on the phone.
Yeah.
You got it. That actually was the order.
Can you guys put in a request of what's waiting for you if you get eliminated food-wise?
Once you exit the jungle house, there's a Big Mac waiting. Oh. And then you get a meal that you nominated before you went into the jungle. I was Britt Hockley. We were eliminated at the same time. And she ordered a carbonara, which was really smart.
Yeah.
But I, for some reason, ordered a chicken wrap, which was so athlete of me.
Worst thing to have waiting for you.
I bet you're regretting
it's
that.
Like, it's like, Ali, you're sad about being eliminated? No, I'm sad because I know what food's waiting for me.
Well, it was hard because they had it under a cloche and they're like, you can reveal your cloches now. And I'm like, a chicken wrap? Did I really order that?
Oh, but that was one way to try and get you to win I'm a Celeb. Hey, Ellie, I want to talk about a moment that's kind of going semi-viral on social media purely for the shock value. There was an amazing conversation between you and Brittany Hockley, and you spoke about your time as a Paralympian, and you spoke about some of the injustices about being, you know, a 17-time gold medalist and A, the lack of pay you received, and B, I guess, the lack of support that you got. The Australian public watching that, and I know you haven't really had much time to kind of see how you were received on the show, has been overwhelmingly shocked to learn that. Obviously, this is something you've lived with. Did you know talking about this on the show would have such a shock value?
Thanks for letting me know, Carly, because we haven't had time to be able to really get online and see how our conversations were received. But it is tough being a para athlete. It's tough being any athlete in Australia, actually, with funding. But a para athlete, it's particularly really, really difficult. And we have a Paralympic year coming up as well.
Yeah.
Our athletes are off to Paris very, very shortly. So I suppose whilst the Australian public may not be able to push the government with enough time to support our para athletes, you know, anyone that's listening to the show today can really show their support just by watching the Paralympics and getting around our Paralympians on social media and you know, giving shout out and whatnot.
Absolutely. Now, I was looking at your Wikipedia page and there's two things that I saw. One of them is that you were born in 1991 and you are technically retired. And geez, that made me furious.
You know what? That is such a common conversation because I've been retired for 2 years.
Yep.
And when I say the term, you know, I've been retired for 2 years,
yep.
Usually people who are in their 60s look at me like, excuse me?
Exactly.
But, you know, I mean from sport, I still have a career.
Allow it. The other thing I see as well is that you played wheelchair basketball. I got to say, I played wheelchair basketball with my mate and like years back when I was a kid. That is probably the most daunting sport I think I've ever played in my life. Every time I watch them play it, I'm always like, someone's losing a finger. Someone is going to lose a finger.
Oh, yeah. It's a really tough sport. I loved the team dynamic because coming from swimming, I was used to having my face just in the water.
Yeah.
But I loved basketball because it really goes against the way people usually see others with a disability. Like in basketball, they're so fierce, they're so fast, and it's like the only sport that I could really play where I could tip someone in a wheelchair and leave them for dead and then score a goal.
It's literally that.
It is savage.
I fell back once and I swear one of them was trying to run over my head. Like, I was like, what?
You're very lucky they lived.
I cannot wait
for the Paralympics. I'm definitely going to be tuning in for that.
I'm a Celebrity. Get me out of here. The grand finale is happening this Sunday, 7:30 on Channel 10 and 10 Play. Ellie Cole, an absolute pleasure to chat to you. Thanks so much for your time.
You too. Good luck for your wheelchair basketball career.
No!
Alan and Carly, the podcast. Naughty at 6:40.
This is where we get a little bit more adult in the show. If you're a child runaway, come back in a few moments' time as we talk about a very brazen naughty act, Carly.
Yeah, so a couple in the Sunshine Coast.
Where's Sunshine Coast again?
So it's over east. It's just up from the Gold Coast.
Okay.
So this couple on the sunny coast have been caught getting it on a sandbar. Now, that in itself is a lot, right?
Absolutely.
But the sunny coast is quite a popular boating spot.
Mm.
There are a lot of people around, a lot of people in their boats.
Yeah.
And then just, and the thing about sandbars, right, you've only got a certain amount of time before they disappear with the tide.
Absolutely.
So obviously they've taken advantage of this.
Well, whatever floats your boat.
Now, someone has decided to film this.
Yeah, because it's funny.
And upload it to social media. Now, for me, as a pale redhead, I could never have that much sun exposure or exposure full stop.
Yeah, agreed.
I am just...
I don't want to break down exactly what was happening in the act, but let's just say one person was doing a little bit more than the other.
I just can't believe someone was standing up as well.
Exactly. I mean, and I at guess... one point, he checked his watch. What does that tell
you? There's got to be sand in a lot of places as well.
I agree.
But they did manage to, I guess, get it on before the sandbar washed away. Like sands through the hourglass.
I don't know what the conclusion was, what the big finale was, but alas.
I thought that's what we're seeing on that video.
I don't think we have the end there. It certainly looks like the middle. Oh, no, it is a rare end.
I just hope they had sunscreen on, guys. Slip, slop, slap. Looks like they did a bit of that.
Yeah, I was going to say, certainly a little bit of those actions have been handled. But anyway, we'll leave
What's the takeaway here? Do we need a takeaway?
I don't think so. I mean, if you're going to get it on in public, be mindful of people around you.
Is that illegal? Like, are you allowed to get it on in the sandbar?
No, I think it is illegal. Like you know, decent
seems
exposure,
a bit
inappropriate, right?
Yeah.
Inappropriate. All right. I didn't realise I was with a cool kid over here.
It's in a props, guys.
In a props.
or as we call it, props. That's when you're allowed to. That's props. I'm trying to make it. No? No. Not props, is it?
No.
Also, where's the water police or whatever? You know what I mean?
Water rats. Where was that episode?
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Alan and I spoke about this the other day on the show, and that is the fact that I booked a... holiday to New Zealand.
Hey, to your Rawa, baby.
Russ and I are going to be taking our honeymoon 3 years after getting married.
Wait, so this is the honeymoon?
The honeymoon. Well,
okay.
It's our first trip together since getting married, so technically it is.
I mean, technically your first trip was over here to live.
Well, that's true.
So you've already had your honeymoon.
We did do it separately,
Cancel it.
So anyway, obviously it was kind of booked because they had a Jetstar sale. I got in a frenzy. Booked and then thought I'll sort it out later.
Do you have to do the classic Jetstar jump in the air? Remember they used to always do that big line?
Oh, no, not required. Maybe at the airport. But so I booked it all and then I thought, all right, I'm going to figure out some things to do.
Yep.
So I'm kind of looking up things. Now, obviously, you have to go off reviews online. Now, I know that sometimes people just love a whinge. So reviews don't really make or break a place. But there was one particular thing that I was looking to book and I thought, I will actually look up the reviews on this because A, it was quite expensive. So I wanted to make sure we're getting our money's worth. And B, I just thought, if this isn't done well, the concept of what it is could be a disaster.
Okay.
Now, I am so on the fence because I will say this, overwhelmingly, the reviews were mostly positive.
Wait, is this my hometown that you did a good review on?
So what it is it's a place that's like an indoor snowfield. Now, me and Russell Yes, and we love to snowboard. It is something we love to do.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, this is amazing, but I've only ever snowboarded on, you know, actual snowfields. So
I've actually never seen snow, real talk.
Oh,
I know, it's sad.
That is sad.
I'd like to one day.
Yeah, well, this is faux snow. It's not the same.
Faux snow.
So I thought, I'm going to look up the reviews because, it's not really cheap to go there, but what a cool experience. But
sounds
I was
cool.
very curious about how they run something like this. I've never even heard of this concept. I think it's one of the only ones in the world.
Okay.
Now, like I said, the reviews were overwhelmingly positive, but the negative reviews were so extreme that I thought, what is going on at this place? So let me read some of the negative reviews. Now, mind you, there were plenty of positive ones saying they had a lovely time, but I am so torn. So let's start with this one. We unfortunately didn't realize there would be an event on at the same afternoon. But we tried to make the most of the experience with the kids. I unfortunately was not spoken to very nicely by a staff member, and it left me in tears of frustration.
Oh, my God.
One star. I'm very sorry to say that when I took my kids to the Knight Rider last night, the girl operating the lift was so rude to my daughter that we left crying.
Oh, my God.
The mum and the daughter left crying. This is another one. I couldn't understand after being ecstatic all evening when my 13-year-old daughter came into the change room at the end of the night with her head down fighting tears.
What the hell?
So people are leaving in tears. Like, these are multiple reviews and I'm like, what is going on here?
What are they showing in there? Is it just a big cinema with Marlo and Marley and me playing?
Okay, maybe there's one rogue staff member that just, you know, doesn't really care.
Yeah.
You know, and also these reviews were like from a couple of months ago. So I'm like, you know, Maybe maybe there's a bad person. Maybe I'm just going to have to harden up before I walk in.
I mean,
we
all work with someone unpleasant, don't we?
But there was a couple of things that I thought, okay, this could be a safety issue. People started saying my biggest bugbear were the frequent power cuts.
Okay.
And then a lot of people were leaving reviews saying, yeah, I was mid going down the field and the power cut out. No, it's left in the dark.
That is terrifying.
It's quite steep, mind you.
Yeah.
And then this is another one from a lady. Went down the tube with my daughter. I was terrified for my life. I didn't feel safe. I won't be going back. So I'm really torn.
Yeah.
Really torn.
Why are you torn? Because you're definitely not going. What are you torn about? What to do instead?
Apparently the food's good there.
Okay. That's not enough then.
The pizza sounded lovely.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. There. Check it out.
Alan and Carly, the podcast.
Fake Fast Facts.
Patricia Shelby joins us in the studio. Each of us have told you a fact. You need to figure out who's the liar but on 131060. My fact is the term freelancer actually comes from the early 1800s in England, and it refers to medieval mercenaries who would fight for whoever paid them the most, thus being a freelancer, but lancing people. That's where it comes from.
I just don't know about that.
Lies.
Interesting.
Let's move on to the truth, shall we? In Belgium, if you want to win yourself a year's worth of entry to the aquarium, all you got to do is race a fish down a hallway. So obviously the fish is swimming. It's a little tunnel, but you got to run it. Okay. Only two people have successfully outrun the fish.
She's still got liar face.
Yeah,
that's
I agree.
All I got to say about that
and
one.
Shelby?
And my very true fact is that the Michelin Man actually has a name. It's Bibendum, from the Latin phrase nunc est bibendum, which translates to now is the time to drink, which was their original slogan.
This is one of the hardest ones, I think, that we've done in a while, because I don't know who the liar is.
They all sound made up, not going to lie.
Yeah,
mine.
Okay, liar.
David from Collie, mate, who do you think the filthy, dirty, no good, disgusting, rotten liar is?
I think that'd be you.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Why? Why, David?
Why? I've got the BS factor going with it.
All right. That sounds like the worst TV show of all time, BS factor, for the record. David, you know what? Here's a shocker for you, mate. My fact, totally real, totally honest. Saw it in The Chase the other day, and I was like, oh, I'll steal that one.
Nice.
Yeah, so tricked you, David. Take that. Which means it's down to you two. Any moment
Shall
now?
Shall we? Do you want to do the honors?
Well, I got to admit that mine is the complete truth.
I knew it.
Mine is completely true, surprisingly.
I knew it.
Never would have thought that.
So that means Carly's lying.
I
suspected you've changed one little element to a story.
Not even a little. I completely fabricated this whole thing.
Really?
Really. But I want it to be a thing. And then I was like, how do you train a fish to swim in a straight line? Is that a thing? I don't know.
No, some fish go back and forth, like in the tank.
Yeah, but like it's an aquarium. They can swim anywhere. Guys, come on, you should ask
more
questions.
That is actually a good point. I probably should have mentioned that. It fell apart pretty quickly.
But if you can train a fish, and if you're in an aquarium in Belgium, feel free to use it.
That was the Alan and Carly podcast. This is it.